Jay Baruchel, he's a movie star, writer, director, scholar, gentleman.
I'll take all of it.
Yeah, man.
Enforcer.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Good to be seen. Thanks for having me.
We were talking because we went and saw the movie last week. We want to talk about it, but spoiler alert.
Please, that's absolutely fine.
Right? We don't want to do it.
Well, and for you it is, but all the people listening, they want to go there.
Yeah. I'm still just amazed that people expect to see it. So yeah. I'll take it. That's awesome.
And we were talking too because the Goon account on Twitter just came out with the big, it's like, don't watch it.
I know.
Watch the trailer.
They show some stuff.
There's a lot in there.
It's always a hard one. Like, you want to show people the cool stuff that's going to make them show up, but you try your best to avoid big story points if you can.
The thing about this movie that I liked is that it's extreme. Like, it's over the top, extreme for comedy purposes.
Yeah, we went for it.
But you kind of sucked me back in with real hockey stuff.
Cool,
The father-son thing.
Oh, is that real?
The thing in the officers.
Did that you thought you found?
Yes.
Oh, hockey dads are crazy.
Thank you. No, that's what we thought.
See it all over.
We thought it would, we thought the relationship between our bad guy Anders Kane and his dad Hiram, we thought that would connect to a bunch of boys in this country.
Yeah. when he's in the office with his dad.
Yeah.
And walks out, the thing.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, that's intense.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That was what we tried. We tried our best to sneak substance in wherever possible. Like, you know, because it's meant to be a fun old school trip to the theater. You get entertained. You see a bunch of awesome stuff. But also, none of that fun stuff really means as much if there isn't anything behind it, if there's nothing to care about, you know?
Yeah.
And we thought, like, boy, just from a creative standpoint, what's a more fertile ground to mine ideas from than a guy having to say goodbye to something he loves doing, right? And having to choose between his family or that, which I think is like that's something a lot of people could identify with.
The rating on this, there had to have been some battles.
The locker room talk was phenomenal.
Thank you.
Between the F-bombs and the blood.
No, I don't know what it is in Alberta, but I know in British Columbia, we're 18A. We're the harshest rating that Canada. Like, I think, you know, it's like porn and then us. And and what was so cool was I got an email that outlines very specifically why we were rated. So over 400 instances of the F word. But then someone wrote in italics all the various sex acts we talk about in the movie. So somebody in British Columbia had to take 45 minutes and craft an email where they had to be like, right,
that point,
golden showers or whatever. So seeing golden showers in italics in an email, I could die a happy man.
Pearl necklace, golden showers, electrical cord over the lamp.
Oh, no, that one.
I was going to say, that's kind of porn and hockey.
Autoerotic asphyxiation humor. Yeah, no, it's like, no, it's all in there. That's the movie we made.
So, I mean, Slapshot, Young Blood, what's your favorite hockey movie? Because I have to feel you're going to be influenced by any of that, whether you know it or not, right?
Yes and no. I don't like Young Blood. I don't think that's like a great flick. I think there's some fun stuff in it.
Keanu Reeves is terrible.
He's not awesome.
For the second time, that fake French accent. Like, dude, what are you doing?
And the fact that you never see Rob Lowe's face and feet at the same time once in the movie. and obviously, Slapshot is Slapshot. But for me and my friends, like, we all adore it. But it's the movie our dad showed us, and it doesn't always connect to us. It is from a different world. The value system is different. And ultimately, I'm not entirely sure what that movie says.
Yeah.
For me, my favorite hockey movies would be, well, there's a really amazing documentary called Junior that I highly recommend. It's on the NFB website, and the NFB is like one of Canada's really great resources. Most of their films are for free on that website. And this is just a documentary that takes you 1 year in a junior team in the queue. And you get to, and you never see any hockey. It's just the kids, what they're hearing from their parents, what they're hearing from their coaches, their agents, and it's all completely contradictory. And you've like, and it tells you the kind of stuff, the mind frame these kids have to be in from 15.
Mm-hmm.
So And then what happens when they don't get drafted? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I adore that movie. I think The Rocket is awesome, except for when there's hockey. And I would say Goon.
And it's hard to it because you would know it's hard.
Yeah.
To capture sport,
especially that particular sport, because in this country we know what it's supposed to be,
mm-hmm. right. and we're snobby about it.
We should be because it's our game. And like, you know, if you were to break down hockey into three adjectives, slow, boring, and removed would never be the ones. Mm-hmm. And when you watch most hockey in cinema, it is that. It's removed and it's stagey, and you don't feel it in the pit of your stomach. That's where you're supposed to feel it.
Yeah,
and so. That was one of the things we worked the hardest at, was to make sure that you could feel the intensity, the speed, the elegance, the impending danger. You know, we want you to feel what it is to watch the game and to play it in our movie.
Jay Baruchel, our guest, Goon, opens on the 17th. Some of our boys getting the pre-screening. I can't wait for the feedback when it comes out. You did a great job in capturing your villain.
You think
obviously this guy is, I mean, a very good actor.
No, he's amazing.
But man, and you needed that. You couldn't have.
That's it.
There's not much lovable there.
No,
right?
Because so also for no other reason than we'd already done that.
Yeah.
You know, Dougie and Ray fight at the end of the first Goon. You want Dougie to win, but you don't hate Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You have an affinity and an affection and a respect for both of them. And that was deliberate. That was like an intentional kind of uncomfortable spot we wanted to put the audience in, because we thought that was just much more interesting than telling them things. But we'd already done that. And so we wanted to find a guy that we'd have a whole theater full of people wanting Dougie to beat up. Yeah. But by the way, that's boring because nobody is 100% anything. And so to find what's distinct and real and clumsy and kind of sympathetic about him, like all these things makes the audience that much more uncomfortable and gives them that much more to think about, you know, because like, if you know, it's one thing to watch two guys fighting on TV. What if you know both of them and you know their personal lives,
mm-hmm.
and you know his dad and you know what that guy's done? That fight all of a sudden becomes way, 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 way different, more heavy, right?
I remember Coulter and Clark. Wendell Clark and Joey Koester, best buds, two of the toughest guys that played, had to fight each other. And,
and if you know the stories, that's the thing. Like, there's all these things. Like, I know, and they're both in the movie, Peros and Colton Orr. Like, and these guys have a great affection for each other. When we were shooting, they were bosom buddies. They didn't leave each other's side.
Yeah.
And they've had quite a physical history in their careers, right? And so it's just, it's we wanted to play with that idea of like what the audience needs from a team in theory on paper, but also what happens when you know that team. And there's because every single one of these guys has a life and a family and a history. Right.
How much time do we have with Jay? Are we good? Do you have anything else here? Do we know? Because I'm just OK. We're going to keep rolling.
Cool.
There's so many funny things going through my head. The sandwich.
Oh,
five more minutes. Okay,
awesome.
Thanks.
The sandwich. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
and how he pulled that off, right?
That's
and then,
pretty. That's
so many great,
pretty high class stuff we did there.
Yeah.
No, but it's funny because you mentioned like really serious hockey movies when you talked about, you know, what you loved coming in, and like, I don't know, are there more serious hockey movies than the documentary you talked about and The Rocket? And now you go to see yours, and it's where do you find your comedic influences? Because it's really funny.
No, it is because you know, I think that life is funny. And I think that, like, you know, a true human experience is sometimes at turns or at the same time funny and messed up and tragic and scary, you know? And so, like, find a day without humor in something, right? Like, you, and so that's part of what makes it uncommon and handmade, right? Like, you eat a cookie that someone bakes versus a cookie from a store, right? Like, it just has so much more in it. And so, my writing partner, Jesse, and I mean, it just must speak volumes about what we find funny, that there's like a whole semen sandwich bit and all that stuff, you know?
Don't give him a spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. It's in the trailer. We all did really mess with that sandwich. That was a whole set prank on John Cherry, who plays Belcure. We all knew that he'd have to eat this god-awful thing. And so we all made it god awful. Sean William Scott was 3 hours. He had been wrapped for 3 hours and he stuck around just to. So we put half a shaker of salt, like 2/3 of a bottle of vinegar, an entire thing of mayo. And then there was 50 of us at the monitors just waiting for him to
take our bite. It's so subtly great, his reaction, because it, I mean...
No, that's real.
It's real, yeah.
That's him taking a bite of just savory, slimy awfulness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can there be a Goon 3?
Again,
without giving anything
away. No, 100%. So, what I want to make abundantly clear is, like, we really did make this movie for the purest, most organic of reasons. If it was a cynical attempt to capture and keep going the little bit of heat we had on 6 years, it would have already come out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We made this with care, and we will always make these things with care. That being said, yes, we think that there's... Now, Dougie retires in this movie, like, and that's that. And he's not coming back. Like, that's, we're not going to keep doing a reunion concert every 5 years. But there are 5 or 6 years in between those two movies. And that's 5 or 6 years, seasons worth mm-hmm. of potential adventures. Plus, I have in my heart of hearts a dream that in 10 years, because so this movie ends, you know, Dougie and Eva have a kid. And I think there could be a cool story 10 years from now, seeing a girl, because, you know, a movie about a girl in high school is interesting anyway, because they have a whole bunch of shit that they have to deal with that we don't.
Yeah.
Now, what if that girl's Doug Glass' daughter and she's very good at hockey and she's bigger than most of the boys and she's the only girl on the boys' team? I think that that is, like, mm-hmm. pretty... There's, and I think that that's something Canada could see. I think there's a lot of girls, there's a lot of Canadians that don't see themselves reflected in our movies and our TV. And so the more that we can start to do that, I think the better. Plus, I just want to see a scene where Dougie and Ray go beat up a bunch of frat boys.
Would that be rated 18A as well?
Well, yeah. I would hope not. We have to probably try and get some high schoolers in there.
But I feel, and again, I've got a couple more things, but I feel like going in almost a departure because of how many real moments were in there, you could make a very serious, touching hockey film if you wanted to.
I think so. I think we could make a super goofy movie that you fall asleep on an airplane to, but I also think, yeah, we could make something that is a straight ahead drama. What I like is when the two aren't mutually exclusive, you know, like Peter Sellers is one of my utter heroes, and what he does is this off beautiful combination of tragedy and comedy at all times.
Alicia Cuthbert, great.
Yeah.
Your character, I'm not sure where you were going, what you were thinking, but he's great. When he walks in and starts doing the brilliant. The movie comes out on the 17th. You, just quick ones.
Yeah.
You were in Million Dollar Baby, Clint Eastwood. Any stories?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, that's like still the only guy I've worked for that if my granddad was still alive, he would have been impressed by, you know? And so I remember walking onto that set very, very stressed. I was like, Clint's Clint. That's that.
Yeah.
And you don't want to mess up. But what's amazing is how easy his set is to be on. You do tops 3 takes, almost no rehearsal. Everyone's happy to be there. It did my head in the first day because I would constantly, after every take, be, Mr. Eastwood, was it okay? Mr. Eastwood, was okay? And Morgan Freeman could see I was quite nervous. And he said, if he doesn't say anything, it means he likes it. And then that was this light bulb moment for the rest of my career, which... It doesn't matter how I felt about my take. I'm not the director. If they've got the moment that they think they need, right? Yeah. Like the coach's opinion of the boy's shift is much more important than the boy's opinion.
Sure. Nick Nolte, how crazy is he?
Not. He is. He's very, very unique, and will, like, just eat pieces of bamboo in the middle of the jungle and stuff. Like, you'll just go take a pee, and you'll look over, and there's Nick Nolte just ripping bamboo off a tree, eating it.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the kindest people I've ever met has, and I think I was lucky being from Canada because that spoiled me, because he loves this country. For whatever combination of reasons, when he heard that there was a Canadian on set, we were just bosom buddies.
You were gold, yeah.
He looked after me and would tell me awesome stories. And when he found out I was a Montrealer, the thing he was most excited and proud to say to me, and I'd never seen him this animated in 6 months, was, you know, I met General Dallaire. All he wanted to talk about was General Dallaire. And I was like, that's a pretty good man.
Yeah. And finally, I loved you getting Lawrence Gowan. into the
movie.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not
Thank
a lot
you.
Of people would have picked up
Thank
on that.
Thank you very
but
much.
But you slide in Strange Animal.
Oh, yeah.
That's comedy.
Thank
right
you
there.
Very much.
That is comedy. Yeah. Little Rush, but the Larry Gowan, that's another
it's
level.
Also just like, that's the thing. I'm a 35-year-old Canadian boy. I grew up hearing that everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, like, we're most proud of is we think this movie has a pretty awesome soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, and that it, like, owns its Canadian-ness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, so sick of beating around the bush and hiding it in a servile hope that someone else might pay attention. No, people don't respect that. And by the way, there's no such thing as prohibitively Canadian. No one puts on Goons, sees a Nova Scotia license plate, goes, I don't know what this is supposed to be, and like walks out the door.
Yeah.
So just like, we've got awesome stuff. We've got awesome tunes. We've got awesome everything. Let's just start leaning into it some more.
You're proud and you should be. We Thank laughed you. Hard, man. Congratulations. You. It's your baby and it's it well is. Done. Thanks. Everyone, go and check it out. Goon, Last of the Enforcers, in theaters this weekend.